Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Evidence-Based Practice and NQMT Music Characteristics and features Dr. Jane Stanley's responses to questions frequently asked during online trainings and webinars.
So our topic is going to be evidence-based music therapy. I think it's important to stress just what this means. A few years ago, I was at a national music therapy conference and went into the restroom at a break. And I heard one of the young people saying, "What is evidence-based music therapy? Every session I go to is talking about that, but I don't even know what it is." So I thought that's a good starting point for today. Evidence-based means that every intervention that you do as a clinical music therapy, you can find documentation in the research literature that would predict a client outcome. The research shows, is the common phrase that we use for that. The research shows that premature infants will be discharged earlier if you allow them to listen to music at a certain gestational age. The research must be replicable. If someone does a study, it has to follow the rules, the gold standard for research, and be so specific that any other researcher could read the description of that study and replicate it in a different place at a different time and see if they get the same results. And only if you can replicate and get the same results do you say, "The research truly shows." The first study, you say, "We think this is an indication, but we need additional research." Music therapy can do harm if it is not done appropriately and according to the gestational age of the baby. So again, we're going to try to sensitize you to the responsibility of being the most cautious you can be in determining what you might do with premature infants. When we say we use music, people who are non-music therapists always want to know what music. Well, we go with the theory that linguists say lullabies promote the beginning language sounds in a given culture, and all cultures have language for that purpose, and that sounds that promote language are very important since the baby has left the womb early. If the baby misses the last trimester, they miss overhearing the mother's voice and developing a great deal of language information before they're ever born. So we describe those aspects of language discrimination, vowel sounds, rising and falling phrases, and soothing sounds in the voice, as a part of the music that we recommend. We do not recommend Mozart. We do not recommend symphonies. We do not recommend changing sounds of instruments coming and going in an orchestral format. You can see at the bottom there, it says reduce alerting responses to allow the immature neurological system to adjust to changes within the auditory input. Soothing, constant, stable, relatively unchanging. We think that those are the most important variables. Because of the danger of overstimulation, we recommend the voice alone in order to convey that language information, or if you accompany, to use only one accompanying instrument. We use the guitar in NQMT because it's portable and easily utilized for all different types of music and interactions, and it allows a great deal of flexibility for the therapist to be very quiet or simplistic or uninvolved and still be an accompanying support for the voice. We recommend very light rhythmic emphasis. Why? Again, we're removing alerting stimuli. We recommend that the rhythm is constant. There's no surprises. There's no syncopation. There's no stopping and starting. There are no key changes. We actually did a research study to see how many chord changes we should be making on the guitar. And what we found was for the youngest, sickest infants, that the three chords, 1, 4, 5, 7, is all we should be doing, that each time we added an additional chord to make the music more beautiful to our ears. It increased heart rate and destabilized physiological variables and alerted the infant. So we recommend staying with as few chord changes as possible. And if you move from one song to another, staying in the same key so that you don't have to change keys. The infants at the as they are premature here, the higher vocal range is better. So we recommend that melodies be in a higher vocal range. And when men are in the NICU singing, we recommend that they use a falsetto voice a little bit later in the baby's development, about the time they are ready to go home from the hospital. This is not nearly as critical, but the younger the infants and the earlier their gestational age that you begin interacting with them, the more important this becomes. I want to encourage males that they are very effective in the NICU, so I don't think this is a really big problem to worry about. So we just have to keep in mind, we're talking about a hierarchy. If the baby is inside a woman's body long enough to have developed hearing and recognition and awareness of the mother's voice, then that mother that we refer to has a head start on being able to communicate and connect with attachment with that baby. The rest of us are secondary to the mother's voice. And so we say the research shows the baby at term birth recognizes the mother's voice and prefers all women's voices. Well, we know preference grows from learned experiences. So if there had been a male partner or a father of the infant talking extensively in the environment, it may be that a given baby is already showing recognition of males' voices and preferences also. So the male music therapist is at a little bit of a disadvantage, but it's not any more than I'm an American music therapist and the person that I'm dealing with is from an Asian culture or from a Hispanic culture, and I have very little in common with them and what the baby's experiences have been up to this point. And so we can overcome those individual differences. The main thing is to realize that we need to be males need to use falsetto originally. And again, we were talking about that with the very early premature babies. When the baby is 25, 26, 27 gestational weeks, that's critical that the neurological wiring is so immature that there will not be as much processing of auditory input as later on. So because we're at that most elemental level, we want to reach the baby in the falsetto range for men, which gives a better opportunity for connection. Then later, as that baby grows and hearing develops, when we're talking about 32, 34, 36 gestational age babies prior to discharge or at discharge and thereafter, then male music therapists are no longer at a disadvantage because the baby is able to hear both males and female voice ranges and singing ranges. So it's only at the very beginning, and that can be overcome with the male music therapist adapting by using the falsetto range. And then it's waiting for the baby to grow a little bit to move down into a more comfortable range. Live music allows you to be contextual, to match selections in the moment to what the baby is undergoing in the environment or in medical care, or to match to the exact response mode that the infant is in at the time. And it's quite critical. However, many NICU music therapists work in NICUs where there are more babies than they can see on a regular basis. So it's comforting to know that recorded music can provide highly positive benefits for babies. We do not recommend that we play free field music throughout a NICU that's recorded music for the whole room. That would be contraindicated because babies are at different gestational ages. They're at different levels of medical care. They are at different moments in their medical treatment, like immediately before surgery or following surgery or immediately after a bath or other types of nursing interventions. And therefore, one piece of recorded music would not fit the needs of all of the infants at the same time. However, recorded music delivered individually can benefit babies. Our statements about staying in a major key originally, again, go back to when you're being most cautious because neurologic processing is so immature. And so our research showed in the United States for our premature infants that when you went from major to minor mode, that you aroused and cause physiological variables to be less constant. So you're stimulating the brain in a way that had a slightly negative medical impact. So early on, we stay within a key. Within cultural differences, I can't speak to that until that research is done. Would this be true in a nursery in Iran? Would it be true in Israel? I don't know, because music is often in different modes in different cultures, and it may be that for the premature baby, you would not see those changes. But our practice is in the United States, and that is where our research occurs with infants. Therefore, transfers will have to be made, or people will have to ask those questions in other cultures. We don't have the population to ask the question here in the United States, but it's just something to be aware of. And certainly, when the baby is a little bit older, it is not a concern. There is nothing wrong with all different types of music for children. It's just a matter of, as the neurological system is wiring, to not overwhelm it with complexity at the beginning.
Thank you for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2024.